Broadcasting live from the Gwinnett Studio of Business Radio X, located inside Office Suites Plus at Satellite Place in Duluth, it's time for Gwinnett Business Radio. Gwinnett Business Radio spotlights and highlights companies that do business in Gwinnett County and the people who lead them.
And hello again, everybody. This is Mike Salmon, along with my co-host, Stephen Julian. How are you this morning, Stephen?
Fabulous, Mike. How are you doing this morning?
I'm doing okay, if I could figure out how to work a computer.
Well, let's move on.
I got just the right person in the room, though. Tom Leatherberry's here. He's a computer guy, so if I have problems again, he'll just step right in.
I'm glad you have a backup, Mike.
Well, yes, as always. Got a great show lined up for you today, and our guests today are from Leatherberry Associates, Mr. Tom Leatherberry. He is the CEO. From E2E Benefits Services and E2E Resources, we have the president, Mr. Raymer Sale Jr. And from EverDry Roofing, we have James and Jamie Asuka. They are the owners of EverDry Roofing. I want to thank all our guests for coming in today. Tom, we'll start with you. Leatherberry Associates, tell us all about your company and what you do.
Well, we are a workflow automation, marketing automation, CRM, and BI reporting organization. We help small to medium-sized businesses, as well as large, to implement the various BI and automation solutions to increase the efficiency of their employees, to provide data and information services, and to essentially increase the profitability of the organization while reducing their overall fiscal costs.
Tom, one of the things I love in business is we hear all the different letters, and sometimes I get lost in what that means. So CRM, BI, I'm a business owner. I come to you, help make me more efficient. Can you give me the top two or three that you come across, or are there ones that kind of pop to the surface more than others where you can specifically come in and help certain businesses and certain business owners?
Sure. So the CRM stands for Customer Relationship Management. It is an overall or enterprise type software solution that you would use throughout your organization for your sales, your marketing, your service support, project management, etc. Sage Software is a very good example. Sage Sales Logics is probably one of the primary leaders in the CRM arena. It's been around since 1997. From a BI reporting standpoint, most people, BI meaning business intelligence, it's a new acronym for reporting. So how do we get our information? Dashboards are very important these days. People like to look at in one screen, see everything that's going on with their organization. So there's a myriad of BI type reports out there, solutions, and we work with a number of them.
One of the terms we hear a lot is workflow automation. What, in layman's terms, what does that mean, and why is it so necessary in business?
So workflow automation is essentially the process of automating a lot of manual human tasks. Very simple, from data entry to very sophisticated. If you have somebody that you're paying to do some data entry, if you're paying somebody to compile reports on a weekly basis where those reports are actually coming out days late, weeks or months late, it is, in short, it's the process of automating laborious manual human tasks and giving your employees the opportunity to do the job that they're actually hired to do.
Tom, I think sometimes business owners get in a mindset of if it ain't broke, don't fix it. And some of what you do is kind of, let me show you what's broke, or let me show you what we can dramatically improve. Is there anything you would want to tell business owners that a quick self-test they could do, or are there things they should be looking for where they go, man, I need to call Tom because I didn't think it was this bad, or I didn't think I needed that much improvement, but they obviously do.
Well, you'd be surprised. There's actually a lot of businesses out there that don't realize how broken they really are. Perfect examples, we have a client who was literally copying or pasting quotations that they were pinning on a bulletin board every month, and this was the January quotes. And if they didn't close at the end of January, they would copy them over or literally unpin and then repin them into a February column. And they thought that was great. It was working.
I don't see why you have to bring my dirty laundry onto the air.
So what we essentially did is we came in, we sat with them, and we looked at the overall process, the process of generating their sales quotes. Well, those were actually tied back to their marketing department, and the marketing department and how they were generating their leads, their sales leads. And they were subsequently trying to get some funding for additional software. So we looked at their overall process, and we looked at from the marketing to the sales to the service department, and we looked at the workflow. And we looked at where all the manual steps were coming into place that were broken, tedious, manual. I keep emphasizing manual. I apologize. But we just literally looked at the overall process and said, okay, there's a way that we can literally automate this. So we took it from a month-long process, and we cut it down to a process that literally runs within nanoseconds. So then you start to look at the efficiency, and you start to look at the profitability. How much money are we actually making off of this, or how much money are we losing off of this process? And by automating, our clients are able to start seeing the return on their investment very, very quickly.
It sounds, Tom, like your software solutions saves money, saves time as well. Does it replace employees?
Absolutely not. So we hire employees to do a job. We want them to complete that job in a timely manner. If they are working 2 hours, 3 hours overtime just to do the job that we're hiring them to do, and we're paying out overtime wages, then that's a waste of our fiscal revenues. So we don't try to replace an employee. What we simply try to do is give them the ability, we empower them to do their own job. We take all those manual, tedious processes, and we automate them so that they're, what am I trying to say?
They're more efficient.
Thank you.
Do you have some examples of some companies you've worked with in the past that you might, stories are always wonderful when we talk to business leaders. Do you have some stories where you could say this is what was happening before they had our software solutions, and here's what happened afterwards?
So I've got two simple examples. One is a very small company that started with us 10 years ago, back in 2002, and the other is a very large company that started with us back in 2001. And the company in 2002 had three employees, and they're looking to expand. So they sat down and realized, we can either invest in technology now, or we invest in employees, and we hired more employees. And they realized that there was going to be a lot of turnover in their nature of business. So they purchased a piece of software that literally takes all of their sales leads, it takes all of their brochure requests, all the interactions of their website, transfers that data directly down into their customer relationship management software. Our automation process does a duplicate check to make sure that the record does not already exist in the system. And then we go ahead and process that request. We'll automatically send out brochures on behalf of the employee or of the company. We will set the record up so that a sales representative is able to make a phone call back in a timely manner. This company has, in the last 10 years, increased their profitability threefold. They've hired two additional employees. So by investing in the technology way back when, they were able to save themselves a substantial amount of money rather than investing in employees. They've invested in technology, which helps their employees work more efficiently. The other example is a worldwide organization where we very simply looked at one process, and that was the process of people going to the website and filling out a form, which was, please contact me, I'm requesting a quote for service. So those leads were emailed to a marketing representative. The marketing representative would then go in at the end of the day between 4 and 5 p.m. and data enter those leads. Well, if she wasn't getting it to it by the end of the day, she would do it at the end of the next day or the end of the following day. So 3, 4, 5 days were going by before this person was actually getting contacted. We took that process and we automated it so that the email comes into the employee still, but we also copy the workflow automation software. Workflow automation software will then write the record into the database. Then, using territory realignment rules, it will actually look up and determine which sales representative in which country for which division is supposed to receive this lead. It will then send them the lead, enter the record into their CRM, schedule a phone call activity for the person to call. It creates a sales opportunity, generates an email out to the sales rep, which is actually a hyperlink. So the sales rep doesn't have to go into their system. They don't have to do any data entry to find this lead. They simply click on the link. It opens the lead in their CRM on their phone, on their tablet, or on their laptop. So we've taken this process. We've cut it from days to, it's about 3 seconds that it the processing time. And they actually attributed 38% of their sales from last year, their online sales, to that one process.
A lot of this, we're talking about workflow, we're talking about using computers and being more efficient and effective. Are there certain businesses that you guys target? And if so, how do you find those leads? Are there certain businesses that you would exclude? Is there use for this outside of office settings?
Workflow automation really kind of falls into you must have data. So if you have data, then we can help you. Now, that could be data as far as doing some type of data entry or data transfer between an accounting system and a CRM system. It could also be just auto distribution of brochures from your website. It could be weekly or monthly, quarterly reports being auto-delivered on a scheduled basis. So small, medium, large companies would benefit from this. It's something that is really geared toward data, bottom line.
We're talking with Tom Leatherberry with Leatherberry Associates. One of the terms, Stephen, as we know, we talked to a lot of business owners and a lot of business leaders in this in the studio. ROI is a huge term we hear all the time, return on investment. For your software, for a company that decides to partner with you, how long before they see that return on investment?
So typically we see a return on investment within 3 to 6 months. A great example of immediate ROI is we automated a client's accounting integration where they had somebody that they were paying to do data entry of very sophisticated or complex and sophisticated invoices. This process was literally cut down from a 6-week process to a 15-minute process once a month. Their ROI was in the first month. They found an $87,000 invoice that they would never have known that they were owed in that first month. Of course, they didn't pay us the finder's fee on that, but we had to ask.
It's like you're a credit card recovery company all of a sudden.
Hey, we tried.
You're from, personally, I know you're from California. Talk about, why you started this company and how does a guy from the West Coast end up in Atlanta, Georgia?
You know, that's a great question. I had a lot of lonely Friday nights way back when, and I kind of fell into this backwards at the beginning of the Salesforce Automation CRM .com days back in the early 90s. I bought my first computer with a 40 meg hard drive, and I thought, I am on top of the world. I'll never fill this thing up. And it's just been kind of a hobby for me ever since. I wound up in Atlanta. Very simply at the spin of a pencil on a map. I decided I was going to move many years ago, and I spun the pencil. I said, wherever that lands, that's where I'm going to go. It landed on a Midwestern city, and I spun again, and it landed here in Atlanta. So I've been here for 10 years. I've got a great family now, great kids, and absolutely love it here.
Being in CRM and IT and spinning a pencil. There's got to be a joke there somewhere, but I can't come up with it.
We'll give you
now.
A couple minutes.
Thank you. So, Tom, one other thing that I'm noticing, I come across people who do CRM. I come across people who help with data and data entry. But it sounds like you guys set yourselves apart by not just saying, hey, I have this one thing I'm pushing. You almost are kind of solutions-based. It sounds like your universe is a little bit bigger of how you can help business owner clients than maybe some of your competition. What sets you guys apart from other companies out there that do some of what you do?
You know, that's a great question. So the way we position ourselves is we don't try to be a smorgasbord. We don't try to offer multiple software solutions that do the same thing. We don't try to be specialists in everything. We look at it from the standpoint of we're trying to help a company. And if that company needs help, we're here for you. If it's CRM, if it's marketing automation, if it's workflow automation, if it's reporting, if it's maybe just overall general business consulting, we're here for that. We will look at and identify the problem. If we can help you, then we'll offer those services. If we can't, we're the first one to raise our hand and say, we can't help you here. We'll find somebody who can help you.
And a quick consultation with a potential business owner, is that free? You just come in and talk, or is there a cost for that?
That's a great question too. I would say, sure. I mean, just call us on the phone or go to our website, and we'll be more than happy to talk to. I mean, initially the first conversation is always going to be.
We don't
charge for that.
Okay.
We have to identify that there's a problem, and then we'll come out and sit down and talk to you about that and see how we're going to help you.
Yeah, we don't want you giving away all the solutions all of a sudden.
Mike, once he says, what's your credit card number? That's pretty much when you know they're starting
to charge. I got it. So for those companies that want to reach out and find out more about your company and think they may need your services, how do they find out more about you?
Go to our website, which is www.leatherberry.net. That's LEATHERBERRY.net. Or reach us out or reach out to us on the phone, which is 770-291-2242.
All right, Tom, and we're glad the pencil landed in Atlanta. Thank you so much for joining us this morning.
Thank you.
All right, Tom Leatherberry from Leatherberry Associates. Joining us now on Gwinnett Business Radio is Mr. Raymer Sale Jr. Raymer is the president of E2E Benefit Services and E2E Resources, and if you're involved in Gwinnett County, involved with the Chamber, you've heard of E2E. It seems like they're everywhere. Welcome to the program, Mr. Sale. Tell us all about your company and what you do.
It's a pleasure to be here. I appreciate the opportunity. We have two companies. One of them is an employee benefits company, and we provide employee benefits plans, designs, wellness programs, employer support to medium and large employers. We're the link between the employer, employees, and the insurance company. Once the sale is done, the work really begins after that, where we link in with the employees and provide the backup service to maintain the benefits programs. The other company is E2E Resources. It's an HR company. And the reason we have two companies is one is they link together to one another. As the employee benefits market has changed, and there have been a few changes here lately, employers are demanding more and more services that go beyond what your normal insurance agent benefits specialist would do. And we saw this coming about 10 years ago and started the development of some custom design software to outsource and link with the vendors that are necessary to make the employer whole. We took a different approach in the software. Number one, we custom designed it. Number two, we don't do many of the services in-house, like payroll. We outsource it. The reason for doing that is if somebody gets angry at their payroll service, we can replace them, but we don't get fired in the process, which is pretty important. The software is now being modified to accommodate the new changes that are coming about with the healthcare legislation. And 2013 is a transition year. 2014 is when the other shoe falls. And so there are lots of things employers will have to do in order to prepare themselves for the new law.
Yeah, and you have to kind of pay attention to the new laws and what's happening and the new healthcare laws. How is that going to affect your industry?
Well, it's already started to affect the insurance companies with plan designs and what they are making available to the consumers. It's also affecting the insurance agents because many of the agents are not going to be able to survive this because of their lack their lack of updating themselves with what the law is doing. One of the things that concerns me and wakes me up in the middle of the night is, what is it that I don't know that I don't know? And every day we get a new surprise. A lot of the regulations have yet to be written. They've got a box that has nothing in it. And so trying to determine what goes in it is like that. But the industry is changing dramatically. The way the benefits are going to be sold, the plan designs that we have available to us, the responsibility by the employers. And I would venture out on a limb to say that if you're a big company like IBM or NCR or a company like that, you probably have every idea in the world of what's going on with this healthcare legislation. But you take all the companies below that level, and their amount of knowledge as to the cost of this program is going to be staggering because there are all kinds of taxes that are going to be hitting us in 2013 and 14 that most people don't even know they're out there.
Well, thank you for bringing that wonderful good news to us here this morning. But Raymer, you talked about you're almost a liaison between the employer, the employee, and the actual benefits. If I'm an employer, what should I be looking for from someone in that role? What should I be, what will set you guys apart from your competitors in that area?
Well, you want someone that's going to, number one, bring creative ideas and designs to the employer to help find ways for them to save money. And there are lots of ways of doing that, which are getting to be the numbers reducing in that, but there's still ways to do this. And then what you really want to do is find out what kind of service is going to be backing them up. We have our phone rings all the time, every day, thank goodness, with people that are having problems getting claims paid, insurance issues, billing issues, and those getting people on the plan, getting them off the plan in a timely manner. And we like for our clients to know that send your employees to us, you call us, let us deal with the insurance company, because we know ways into the vendor that you'll never figure out. And so that's what we get paid for, and that's what we do a lot and do it every day. We had a situation just the other day that a friend of one of our client employees was having an issue, and they paid us what I thought was a really, really high compliment. This particular person said, well, our friend here can't get her situation straightened out because she doesn't have an E2E behind her. So that when we hear comments like that, we know we're doing our job.
Is there a type of company that you normally work with? Are they larger companies with more employees, I assume, that you typically is your client?
When we started out in the small market. We have grown beyond that market now. We are looking at, well, what's going to trigger this is what happens in 2014. The groups that are group companies that are less than 50 employees are going to have one set of benefit standards to work by, and those that have 50 or more are going to have more flexibility and choice and more restrictions and more regulations. But we're looking for those companies now that are near the 50 mark, and I guess the sweet spot's going to take us up over 500. It depends on the type of industry and what their needs are.
How do you go to market? How do you find these companies? How do you find your new business?
I have a sandwich board that I stand on the corner and say I'm hungry. No.
You'll do it all.
We market through the Chamber of Commerce and networking through the Chamber of Commerce and word of mouth. The referral is always a good market for us. I've been active in the Chamber and active in Gwinnett County for over 20 years now, and so I've built a nest of referrals. We also work through other vendors out there that can provide services to the client, and they refer to us so we can provide the benefits programs for them.
We're talking with Raymer Sale, who's the president of E2E Resources and E2E Benefits Services. You have a long and distinguished history in the industry. How did you get started in insurance? Why insurance?
Well, it wasn't quite like spinning a pencil on the map, but it was close. I answered a blind ad in a newspaper and went to an interview. And when I got through with the interview, I found out that I was interviewed for an insurance position. And that started back in the 74.
You went to a blind interview, had no idea it was insurance, and now you have these two companies that you lead here in Gwinnett County.
Well, food is important to survival, and so that all happened in Pensacola, Florida, and I was transferred here with a large insurance company. I was a VP of marketing for a company. I'd been with them for 10 years, and I got caught in I won't call it a downsize, I'll call it a reorganization, because I still had a job with the company, but I just decided to step out on my own. And I operated out of my bedroom for a while, and now we have an office over here on Premier Parkway, and have a staff right now of six, looking for seven and eight.
Okay. There we go. Blind ad on Business Radio X.
There you go.
We've talked a little bit about healthcare reform, and we've talked about how that's affecting benefits. What other benefits should business owners be looking to improve? And then also, if I'll just ask a second follow-up question, talk a little bit more about the HR. Talk a little bit more about the resource, what business owners should be looking for that you can bring to the table for them in the terms of HR.
Sure. The other things that employers are looking for are basically what the employees are asking for. They want accident insurance, and they want critical care insurance, and they want disability insurance, and dental insurance, and vision insurance. And so all of those are referred to as ancillary products, except for the disability. And so we try to design the programs, both employer-paid or employee-paid, that will meet the needs of the employees. Because when I first got in the insurance business, going door-to-door and selling life insurance in someone's home was the everyday thing. Well, today I'm not going to knock on anybody's door because neither one of us knows what's on the other side. And so employees now depend on employers to provide these products to them, and that's where majority of them are met. As far as the HR company resources, beginning in January, employers are going to have to start tracking employee hours. Any employee that works 30 or more hours is going to be considered, is considered a full-time employee. But if you're an employer with, let's say, 40 employees, but you have another 15 part-time employees, now the part-time employees' cumulative hours can equate to full-time equivalent employees. Now, they may still be part-time, and they may not be subject to the health insurance requirement that the employer provided, but the employer with the full-time equivalents could tip over to the 50, could tip over to 50 employees. And once that happens, then the ball game changes. So employers are going to have to track that. The employers with more than 50 employees are going to have to start tracking for unaffordable health plans. And that's a plan where the employee pays more than 9.5% of the premium. If it's an unaffordable plan, then the employer is subject to a $3,000 penalty. If an employer doesn't provide insurance for employees and sends them to what's going to be called the exchange, we don't have one in Georgia yet. The federal government will be running ours. If they force the employees to the exchange, then there's a $2,000 penalty per employee. And that, by the way, is not tax deductible. The employer will just, you know, if you earn $100,000 and you've got however many $2,000 employees you have, that just goes to the bottom line and gets taxed as profit. So that's just
And there's still a lot of empty boxes that he's still trying to keep on top of. I can see the need for a lot of business owners here to talk to Raymer.
Well, the payroll companies, while they know how many hours a person works, unless they are modifying their program to report, the employer has no way of tracking this. And, oh, by the way, the 30 hours and full-time equivalent stuff doesn't kick in until 2014, but they have a look-back period. So 2013 is the look-back period. And if you in 2014 haven't tracked it and you have 57 employees meaning part-time and full-time, the government's going to say, you got 57 full-time employees, you prove you don't have the others. So
if you have 50 employees, I mean, you need to have E2E on your side or you're going to be in a lot of trouble.
Absolutely.
I've noticed from your resume and what you've done, you're very involved in the community personally. Your company E2E is also very involved in the community. So it's obvious that you feel a community is very important to what you do both personally and for your business.
Well, yes. As I stated early on that I became involved with the chamber, and of course, if you're involved with the Chamber of Commerce, you get to meet all of the community opportunities to serve on boards and to support the community. And if you are going to work in a community, you need to be part of that community. You need to support the needs. There's plenty of need out there, and so we do get involved. And I've served as president of the Georgia Association of Health Underwriters and the Atlanta Association of Health Underwriters, which, by the way, was the largest health underwriters association in the nation at that time. It and California are in battle all the time for that. And as the chair of the chamber this year, you get to meet lots of ways. You get introduced to lots of ways to expand your reach and to be more involved. So community involvement, as far as I'm concerned, is part of the process.
Where do you see E2E going, both the benefits and the resources and the benefit services? Where do you see yourself growing in the next few years? You said you're looking for number 7, number 8. What's ahead for E2E?
Well, there's, you know, with all kinds of adversity in the healthcare legislation, there's always opportunity for profit and for growth. And so what we are trying to do is identify the pain points for the employers so that we can bring to them the services that they need in order to stay out of trouble with the government. And good grief, there's just untold numbers of things that are in this law right now that if you haven't done up to now, you're subject to fines that you won't even believe. And by the way, the most common one right now, or the most current one, is the summary of benefits and coverage, which became effective for groups new and renewing this year, that you have to provide this document to your employees. And if you don't do it, there's a little $1,000 penalty per occurrence. So, you know, that's just one little hook in there. That's where we're going, in the direction to make it easier for employers to comply and easier for them to stay out of trouble.
Once again, if you're an employer, you can't afford not to have E2E on your side. And then you get Leatherberry Associates involved. I mean, you've got everything covered.
Save money and keep from getting fined. I like that on my bottom line.
That's what we're here for. Raymer Sale Jr., E2E Resources, E2E Benefits Services, thanks so much for your time. For folks that want to reach out and find out more about your company, where would they go?
Well, we have a couple of methods. They can go to our website, which is www.resources.com, or they can phone us at 770-736-9190.
Raymer, thank you so much. It's been a pleasure.
Thank you for having me. We appreciate it.
All right. As we move on now on Gwinnett Business Radio, we are now joined by the husband and wife team of James and Jamie Suka with EverDry Roofing. Now, Tom over here spun a pencil, ended up in Atlanta. Raymer answered a blind ad, ended up here running two companies. Do you guys have a good story, or have they already trumped you guys?
I think we're trumped, yeah.
I
start off with a real tough question. Tell us
there was a Ouija board and prayer involved. So,
EverDry Roofing, James and Jamie, tell us all about your company and what you do.
We're a full-service roofing contractor. We specialize in roofing and gutters. That's all we do. We're different than a home improvement contractor. We do residential roofing, but we also do commercial roofing. And that's pretty much it in a nutshell. Pretty simple, straightforward.
Yeah. What got you into the business of roofing?
I'd been in sales after the military, and I took a test, and it said, you know, I'd be great at construction management. And I met a guy that was selling roofing, and I said, you know what, this looks like a good fit. I don't have to swing a hammer, but I'm still in construction, so, you know, I like both parts of that.
There's the story right there, Stephen. He took a test, and that's why he is what he is today.
Absolutely.
How long have you been in business, and what do you enjoy most about what you both do?
Well, we've been here in Georgia we moved here 5 years ago, and we started basically from scratch here down in Georgia. And what we like best about what we do, quite honestly, obviously, we're husband and wife. That does pose some challenges, but it's also does give us the flexibility of being able to being around our children and, just being able to do things that are sound the normal 9 to 5 and whatnot. So it's opened up us to a lot of different opportunities and whatnot as well. So
there's so in roofing, apart from the obvious, oh my goodness, there's a giant leak coming in my house. What are other times that somebody should be calling you and thinking about using your services?
Well, I think one of the services that we brought to market about a year and a half ago was a gutter cleaning service, and that's been growing tremendously. And what we do with that is we'll come out and obviously clean the gutters, but we do a full roof inspection. And, when nobody gets up on the roof, hopefully not too many people get up on there, and there's a lot of things going on, and there's a lot of expansion and contraction in your home that people don't realize, and you can get cracks in your shingles and your pipe collars and that type of thing. So it's good to have somebody out at least once a year to take a look at that. And we've coupled that with a gutter cleaning package. For $89, we'll come out and you'll have a professional on your roof, do a full roof inspection, and you get your gutters cleaned at the same time. So
it's more of like preventative maintenance, making sure a problem before it, occurs.
There's been a lot in the news, obviously, over the last several years with the housing market not doing well. It's starting to bounce back, though. But people are staying in their homes a lot longer now. Mm-hmm. I assume I hate to say that that's good for your company, but in a way, I mean, people need to keep those roofs in good shape.
Well, quite honestly, the whole gutter thing, cleaning too, most companies can't afford, because they subcontract everything out, another guy to go out there and, pay for them to fix it. Now, we actually have people that work for us that are, and we can make it pretty affordable for people to get those repairs done, and it's not a huge expense to them, and we can also say, we can stagger it, saying you can get the things that are the action items that need to happen right now, and then maybe 6 months from now, another 6 months. So, they can budget for that.
And you mentioned, Jamie, earlier preventive maintenance as well. For people that own a home, let's say you've just bought a new home. Is it 5 years, 10 years, 20? When do you need to kind of be in touch with a company like yours?
You know, that really depends. For example, if there's a severe weather event, a windstorm or a hailstorm, you certainly want to call somebody out and take a look. If you can physically see something that looks different than it did yesterday on your roof, that's a good time to call us.
Shingles in the yard, you know.
No, but not a good thing.
Call today, Mike. Call today.
The same thing with on the commercial side of it too. We do maintenance. We have maintenance agreements, which we actually the Chamber of Commerce is one building that we do that on. We come out on a quarterly basis and inspect it and make sure there's any there's not any issues, and if there are, we address them at that point. So from a small scale to on a large scale. We do it all.
Speak a little bit about your business, because I know in the home repair business, and we don't encourage, obviously you don't want to talk down your competition, but there's a lot of kind of fly-by-night operations. And the fact that you guys offer $89 gutter cleaning with your own technicians, with your own work crew, that's huge, and that's also a good price point. How can you guys do that, and what sets you guys apart from a lot of the companies out there that say, oh, yeah, I do roofing?
Well, I guess the first thing is there's no licensing in the state of Georgia, which is changing. Thank goodness, finally. We also operate in South Carolina and North Carolina. So in South Carolina, for example, you must be licensed, and it's very similar to the Florida license. So it requires a test. It requires a credit check, background check, a competency test that you actually know what you're doing in the trade that you're working in. So and we've obtained all those licenses for the other states that we work in as well. So hopefully that's going to come to Georgia, and that's going to get rid of a lot of the fly-by-night guys that get in the business. You know, the entry bar to get into the roofing business is not much more than a business card and a clipboard.
And a hammer, and I'll get up on your roof. So you think the licensing, you guys would say, obviously.
Oh, yeah. I have no problem. Huge. You know, I'm like, give me a test. Right. I will pay the permit, if as long. Because basically they're undercutting us, and that we're not
and
making
not
any
doing
money.
Good work.
Yeah, and then we get the calls like a year later. We try to get a hold of the company that did our roof, and they're gone. So, we're happy to help them, and we feel bad, but it's like, what do you say?
Go with the pros first.
Another thing with our company too is that we're very involved in the community as well. That's one thing that's very important to us as well. And a lot of people want to feel comfortable about you, and that's not really why we do it. But we do a lot of different things. For example, like this afternoon, I'm doing this event. It's pretty crazy day for us down at Children's. It's called Camp Children's, Scottish Rite. So I do that on a quarterly basis. So it's just those things, people see those and they're like, they're ingrained in the community. They're not going anywhere, right. So that's just kind of one of the reasons, not really one of the reasons, but one of the reasons people feel that we're not going anywhere. So.
Just another typical day for Jamie, I guess.
Right.
Yeah. All over the place. You talk about relationships I assume relationships are very, very important in your business. So relationships can make or break your business. Mm-hmm. So you are involved with the chamber and so forth. You mentioned earlier insurance claims and things like that. So I would think you didn't need to have those great relationships with the insurance people as well.
Well, that's a double-edged sword. That's a double-edged sword.
Exactly.
We don't do a ton of insurance restoration. There's a lot of businesses out there that's what they focus on, and we really don't. We took a look at the market a couple of years ago and the economy and decided that, you can try to go after some big fish or even on the residential side, you can try to just go after the re-roofs. Most companies don't want to do a $300 or $400 roof repair. And we decided that, the economy the way it is, we better be able to do that and make it profitable, or we're not going to be here. And so that's when we got our own guys in our own trucks that are uniformed employees. That's not an easy task to get a guy, to wear my uniform first, and secondly, to get up on a roof with a hammer and do a job properly. So, but having done that, we've seen lots of our competition go out of business over the last couple of years, which is sad, but... I'm not going to cry.
No tears being shed in this room today. How do you guys go to market? How do you find new business? How do you get your customers?
We don't advertise that. Quite honestly, we don't. We don't advertise that much. 4 years ago, we got involved in the chamber, and that has been like a huge. I mean, impact on our business. And I mean that I just, and that we also have, we have people on staff that do business development for us, which is basically a lot of grassroots marketing, networking, going, doing the things that, just getting, reaching out and touching people, and that's been the most beneficial thing for us, with buyer's return on investment.
So any homeowner is a potential customer then?
Anybody that has a roof, pretty much.
Everybody has a roof?
Everybody has a roof.
Whether you own it or rent it.
Yep.
You still have one.
Yep.
And so we have a couple of different divisions, I guess. We have, it's not really a separate division, but we have, we do a fair amount of multifamily apartment complexes. And so that's been pretty big for us. And that's a relationship thing. And when we looked at our gutter cleaning program and the fact that there's no licensing in the state of Georgia, when there is a major storm event, it's literally hours later, you'll see roofing signs outside of a neighborhood where a tornado touched down or something like that. And they're actually behind the police cars that are still blocking traffic from getting in the neighborhood. And I thought, how does this happen? How do I beat the next guy? And the only way to do that is to have a relationship with your customer prior to anything like that happening. So how do we do that? Well, let's clean their gutters. Let's get in front of them once a year, twice a year, and have that relationship, have the magnet on the refrigerator. And so when there is something,
we'll send an email to our customers the next day in that vicinity and saying, hey, just if you need us to come out and check it out, let us know. And that's just stay in front of your customers.
We're talking with Jamie and James Suka with EverDry Roofing. Let's say I need some work done on my house, guys. How do I know, what questions should I be asking someone that says, hey, I can fix your roof? I mean, I want a reputable, good company that has a history like yours, as opposed to, you say, anybody who has a business card can be a roofer that wants to get up on a roof. What questions should I be asking so I know I've got a good person fixing my roof?
Well, one of the things that people always ask for when you want references, okay, well, references are great, but ask for ones that are from 4 years ago or 3 years ago, because someone will give you something that's 2 months ago, and that's really not a good indication of how the longevity, if they're going to be here a year from now. So, we have plenty of those, but, if you – just ask, be fair and ask somebody else that too, and it's just for your own peace of mind. That's one of the big ones. What else do you – James, go ahead.
Well, I think, a lot of our business is referral. So, I think if you don't know of a good company, first maybe you could start at organizations like the Chamber of Commerce. We're one of a few roofing companies, so if you go to the Chamber of Commerce, you'll probably find us. But I guess that's a selfish plug. But
that's what we're here. Hey, right. That's what we're here for.
Right. But, it's just, ask around, and if you can't find anybody, go to an organization like the Better Business Bureau, that type of thing. When someone comes out to your home, are they wearing a uniform? What references do they have and how old are they? That's kind of the biggest one, I guess.
Yeah. I mean, our guys come out there. I mean, you can tell right away, they're from our company. They have got their name badges, their logo.
You got to look the part.
Yeah,
image is very important.
Yeah, exactly.
You guys own the company. Where do you see your growth? Where do you see yourself 5 years from now?
We didn't expect to be where we are 5 years from today, or 5 years
five
ago
years ago today.
Yeah,
yeah,
so it's crazy. I don't. I mean,
well,
what's your favorite?
It's almost Christmas time, yeah. So maybe your wish list. Where do you hope to be in 5 years?
Well, I hope to be right here in Gwinnett County. We do have three offices, one in Charlotte and one in Greenville, South Carolina. And one of the reasons that we have those three locations is that I can personally be at any one of those offices and still be home and tuck my kids in at night. So we have no plans to expand our footprint of service area. Our plan is just to grow our market share.
Yes.
You talked about preventative maintenance. I think sometimes, I know in my mind, I'll confess, when you think of roofing companies, it's you only think of replacing the entire roof. Apart from the gutters, what are some of the other repairs? And like you said, shingles on the yard. What are some of the things people, apart from just the signs, what are some of the things they need to be looking for that might be preventive maintenance they can do, or things where they don't have to replace the entire roof and have a fight with the insurance company?
Well, I think the biggest thing is, and it's not so much that you can really look at it unless you feel competent getting up on a ladder yourself and looking at
I
it.
I do not, just so we can get that clear and out
Chimney
of the
caps are probably one of the biggest action items that we see up there. And when the builder puts them on, they use a very thin piece of metal, and it's fabricated on site, I guess. And they're usually very poorly done. they're convex, I guess. I'm trying to explain this on the radio here. A lot of times they're convex. The water.
We're not smart people. You don't need to use, don't have to use the big words for me and Steven.
Water gets up there and it stays up
there. It sits there
on top of that chimney cap, and it acts as a lens, and it rusts out pretty quick. And so you'll get water, and it goes down inside the chimney. You won't see any sign of it in your house. And then next thing you know, the bottom of your chimney starts rotting out from the outside. You're going, why is the siding falling off here at the bottom of the chimney? The problem is, happened 2 years ago on top of your chimney. So that's one of the things that we always look at when we're doing our roof inspections. And by the way, when we do a roof inspection, we're going to take pictures of everything and show the property owner exactly what's going on there.
Does it cost anything if somebody's not sure, they think they might have a problem, and they found a shingle in their yard, not sure if it's from their roof or the other or the neighbor's roof? Does it cost anything for you to go over there and take a look and give them maybe an estimate?
That depends. If you're a homeowner, no. If you're a multifamily property owner and you've got 68 buildings, it's not free.
I would imagine. For companies the multifamily companies or the individual homeowners that want to reach out and find out more about your company and think they may have a problem and need your services, how would they get in touch with you?
You can go to our website, www.everdryroofing.com. Make sure you don't put a Y in there because a lot of people do. But it's everdryroofing.com, and our office number is 678-765-6020, and you can also look at us up on Facebook. We have a lot of information and pictures. It's just, if you just search for Everdry Roofing, INC period, on Facebook, we are the only ones. So
okay, and hopefully James and Jamie will be joined by you in 5 more years to talk about how it's grown over the last 5 years. Then thank you so much for joining us today.
Thank you for having us.
All right, James and Jamie Suka from Everdry Roofing here on Gwinnett Business Radio. I want to thank all of our guests today. A reminder that Gwinnett Business Radio airs brand new live shows every Tuesday and Thursday morning at 10 o'clock, and that our program can be heard several times a day, not only on the Gwinnett station, but on all of the Business Radio X stations throughout Atlanta. And of course, you can listen to any of our programs anytime, 24/7, by logging on to businessradiox.com. Steven, another bang-up job today. Thank you.
Absolutely. I'm going to spin a pencil and answer a blind ad.
There you go. And hopefully you'll be back Thursday if the pencil lands in the right spot.
We'll see where it lands.
Yes. For Steven, Julian, Mike Salmon with you, and we'll see you next time right here on Gwinnett Business Radio.